This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
10:18 on a Wednesday morning, we've got our winner. Thank you for calling. We'll give away another Wawa gift basket in celebration of their 60th anniversary later in today's program. I want to get to the NBA and the NHL, but first, I want to get to this story because I thought this was the Onion at first. Sports betting, it's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I get that. I've made peace with that. I won't lie. We profit off of that, so I'm not going to throw stones inside the glass house.
That's right.
I enjoy putting food on the table.
Be part of the solution.
I'm not part of the solution, I don't feel like. But I saw this. This is from CNBC.
Okay.
The CNBC.
That's a serious organization.
This is real. Dave & Buster's will allow customers to bet on arcade games. Just run that sentence, all those words again. Dave & Buster's will allow customers to bet on arcade games.
Oh.
Here's the article from CNBC. Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on a Hot Shots basketball game, bet on a skee-ball competition, or on another arcade game. The betting function, expected to launch in the next few months, will work through the company's app.
Wow.
Now, yeah, it's CNBC. Finance people, they talk in words that don't mean anything but sound impressive.
Right.
As the boom in betting increases engagement among sports fans, digital gamification could have a similar effect with Dave & Buster's customer base by allowing loyalty members to compete with one another and earn rewards, and could be more people spend more time and money at the venue.
Things are about to get heated at Dave & Buster's.
Things are about to get super heated at Dave & Buster's. I'm fine with bragging rights on the line at Papa Shot. I don't need $5 on the line as well.
No.
Also, and no disrespect to Dave & Buster's, but if it's like every other arcade I've been to, those scoring mechanisms are not the most accurate
in the world. You don't want people emotionally invested in the accuracy of those games?
I mean, it's rigged. I want my $5 back. I actually shot before the Papa Shot buzzer and it didn't count it.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to have instant replay here? Are we going to be able to throw the red flag at Dave & Buster's for a $5 skee ball bet? Are we going to have regulation size skee balls? Something they got the dents in them. The kids have been throwing it everywhere.
They better have thought this out.
Ooh, boy.
Big steps.
This company, Lucra, has raised $14 million with investors. We're creating a new form of digital experience inside of these ecosystems. We're getting them to engage in a new way and spend more time and money. Lucre is careful not to use the term bet or wager to describe its games. We use real money contests or challenges.
Oh. Hmm.
The last thing I need is to have $5 on the line at Dave & Buster's while hitting Papa Shot after a couple of beverages.
Ooh-wee.
This company hopes to expand in the coming years to pickleball.
In Dave & Buster's?
No, no.
Less exciting.
That if you play pickleball with your friends, you can put a little something on the line.
Oh, AWOD's going to be into that.
Well, here's the thing. I don't need an app to put $5 on the line when I play pickleball. That's not... No, nobody. Hey, you want to make it interesting? Like, yeah, on the golf course.
Pull out your phone. Scan this QR code.
Yeah, you want to make it interesting? Like, you want to play for $10? Like, how would we possibly facilitate that transaction?
I don't have $10. This cash money means nothing to me.
I'm sure the app's going to be skimming off the top, right? Uh-huh. Like, the last thing I need is to pay transaction fees on betting a 10 spot on my putt on 14.
That'll be $10.60. And would you like to leave a tip?
That's all right.
The options are 20% to 30%.
You want to play air hockey? Yeah, I want to play air hockey. How's the machine? I don't know. Some of the pockets there work, some of them don't. Want to put $10 on it? Yeah, that would get me super heated right now inside this video arcade. Who wouldn't want to put $10 on this game?
Let's get a drink too.
This has bad idea written all over it. Betting on professional sports it ends in controversy often, way more often than it should. Replays and reviews. You know, did he, didn't he? How do you score that? Can you believe that? We're doing this at Papa Shot now?
There's no refs.
We've gone too far.
Yeah.
Oh, there are two refs, one on each hand. Let's go. I'll be officiating this Papa Shot. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
Your friendships will be ruined.
Yeah, I'm not.
Over $5
I'm
Papa Shot
bets. I'm not
going
to Dave and Buster's with you. You keep that to yourself. You and your $5.
Putt-putt also can turn contentious if you put money on it, right? Because, like, how far can you move your ball away? Can you hit somebody else's ball?
That's dangerous because you got a weapon in your hand.
But also, like, if it lands against the brick, you can't just be expected to hit it. You gotta move it out.
I see you've had these discussions before.
I've had these discussions before.
You know how this is going to go.
Come from a litigious family. It's not a family.
They didn't even have the app.
Not a family of lawyers, just litigious.
Litigious. Arguing.
Yeah, let's get to the bottom of who's better at Papa Shot. Let's put $10 on it through an app that I guess the app facilitates, like, you Venmo and they Venmo the winner, but wait, why do we need the app involved? I don't understand why we need the app involved.
Unclear.
And do you still get tickets? Because I kind of like getting the tickets. Kind of like getting the tickets and you know.
If there's an app, I bet the tickets go on the app. Maybe there's another app for the tickets, actually. Seems more accurate.
Dave and Buster's, latest into the sports betting. I'm excited for BetQL on future nights. Yeah, who do you like? Who do you like this weekend in the golf tournament? And we got a horse racing breakdown, and then we'll be talking about Papa Shot. We'll handicap tonight's Papa Shot down at Dave and Buster's in Short Pump. BetQL, your source for all things betting. You gotta have an edge. Mm-hmm. I'll be out there scouting. I'm just gonna sit behind the Papa Shot players with a notepad taking notes. Be ready for this.
They're gonna think you're a ref. When they start fighting, they're going to call you in. You better take some flags with you.
Them's fighting words right there. The New York Mets. I'm just going to get all this out of the way so we can actually do NBA and NHL in another segment. I can't do NBA and NHL in 2 minutes. That's what I get for going into the Dave and Buster situation. The New York Mets last night, and we're sending up the stub signal on this one. The Mets offered dollar hot dogs last night. Now, stub has backed off. He's not going to do 9 hot dogs, 9 innings. And in the pitch clock world, I get that. The Squirrels games have all been coming in under 2 hours.
They have.
Mets game last night. So the Mets had a military veteran throughout the first pitch, a 97-year-old World War II veteran throughout the Mets' first pitch on opening day. And his name was Seymour Wiener, which is... most taverns taken that call before, right?
Uh-huh.
Seymour Wiener. Ha, ha. So people posted, ha, you get it? You get it? Do you get it? It's funny. It's funny. So it became a thing online, as everybody online has the emotional intelligence of a 4-year-old.
Of course.
Yeah. But the Mets invited Seymour Wiener back to be the official spokesman for Dollar Hot Dog Night last night. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in the people of New York and the Mets. They had 22,880 people at the Mets game last night. I'll give you the relevant information. The game lasted 2 hours and 31 minutes. That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs do you think they sold?
It better be 22,000 if they're a dollar.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
Okay.
They sold 44,269.
Okay.
So everybody ate two. I'm declaring that a disappointment. The Mets had prepared 70,000 hot dogs in anticipation.
So 30,000.
70,000, that's 3.5 per person. That's closer to the pin on dollar hot dog night, right? I'm disappointed in the people in New York. I promise you can't get a dollar hot dog on the streets of New York anymore. That ship has long sailed. This was your chance, New York.
Yeah, this was the time to show up.
Very disappointing. That is a new Citi Field record, 44,269 hot dogs consumed in a night.
not enough.
Kentucky Derby is on Saturday. We'll go out to Louisville right after this. Get the latest from FanDuel TV's Andy Biancone. She'll join the program on the other side. Lots more NBA and NHL talk. You're listening to MP on the Mic. It's a Wednesday morning. This is 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM. MP on the Mic, the Wednesday show. It's Kentucky Derby week. No better place to go than out to Louisville. Check in with Andy Biancone. She joins us this morning. She is a FanDuel TV reporter out there covering all things Derby related. Busy week out there, of course. And I want to dive into everything going on around the Derby. But also, Andy, thank you for joining the program. You do the horseback reporting, and I think that's just the most interesting gig at the track. I want to know everything about that, basically.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. Just being reporting for FanDuel is an awesome job. I adore it, obviously, and I still work very closely with my dad and am able to get on horses in the morning still as well. But horseback reporting, I mean, you can't complain. You start the morning on horses, end the day on a horse, can't, like, dream life.
Do you bring your horse to these events, or are you using a different horse every time?
I literally, like, it's like pony charity. I just recruit whatever pony I can get my hands on. But I've been very fortunate, especially in Kentucky and California. My good friend Mary Ellett, her parents are the Outriders at California, and she's got a couple of horses in Lexington. So anytime we do pony reporting, I kind of try to get in touch with her. Aiden Butler was so kind to let us use his personal horse, Master, for all the Gulfstream events the previous year, and he's like a six-year-old draft cross, so he was really cool.
Are the jockeys cool with it? I mean, like, they're putting their all into this, and that you're like just trotting over here at the end. You got, you know, how do you make sure you're getting a good interview there?
Oh, I mean, it's honestly, it's so special and so candid to be able to catch these jockeys as soon as they pull up. You know, you often get the rawest emotions and feelings. And even myself, there's been a couple times where I've had to choke back tears, or I'm like, have to refrain from yelling into the mic because I just feed off their energy, and it's so exciting and contagious. Like, I mean, couple standout interviews. Tyler Gaglione, when I pulled him up in the Bluegrass, he was, I thought he was going to jump off Sierra Leone. He was so excited. He goes, "Andy, I'm going to win the Kentucky Derby." And I was like, "Tyler, save it for the crowd. Like, here's the mic. Go ahead. Yeah. So, you know, or Junior Alvarado, when he won on Art Collector and the Pegasus World Cup. I mean, Junior is one of my favorite jockeys, great person, great human being, and the Outriders, myself, all the other jocks who were all just screaming and hollering and rooting for him. Flavien Prat, when I got to interview him after the Pacific Classic win on Flightline, I mean, that was, I literally was about to just bawl my eyes out. So, you know, it's very special to get to be a small part of big moments like that.
I love it. Andy Biancone should be on FanDuel TV all week, of course, from the Kentucky Derby. I mean, when you talk about excitement and you talk about horse racing, obviously this is the week. This is the moment. What's the mood out there, and how's everybody feeling going into Saturday's race?
Ooh, it's Derby week is no joke. I'm taking care of two horses for my dad on top of doing all my stuff for FanDuel, so I'm running on fumes a little bit, but so is everybody. You know, once you accept that you're just going to be exhausted this week and roll with it, you have a much better time. So, you know, if you're not tired, you're not doing it right. Okay, just accept that you're going to be tired. But it's unbelievable. Just the community, the energy on the backside. The horses know what's going on. They know their stars. They love the attention. The energy is just electric, and it's so amazing. My boyfriend's also riding in his first Derby, so that's just been so crazy just to see how far he's come, and just to kind of support him through this has been very exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's going to be a big day Saturday. Do you get to make time for any of the parties, or is it all business back there at the stables?
It's a lot of 7 p.m. bedtimes, handicapping whenever I have a free second. I think I will be going out to Jock Tales with Keith tonight. But other than that, it's been early mornings. It's been early mornings and early bedtime.
I love it. Andy Biancone joins us. She's FanDuel TV racing reporter, and as she mentioned, has lots of other ties to the business as well, looking out for her dad's horses and boyfriend riding in the Kentucky Derby. I love it. Busy week. So for the people who are just tuning in this week and getting ready for the Derby, you want to give us some names of horses to know and to watch for on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very anti-fierceness throughout the whole Florida campaign because I found there was a lack of physical development from the Breeders' Cup into all the Florida preps. But comparing him from the first time I saw him in the Holy Bull to now, a huge physical difference. Todd Fletcher has really seasoned this horse to perfection, so I do expect a big effort from him. Others who have stood out just a touch. Oh my gosh, what an outstanding horse. I think he's got the forward momentum to establish a good position early in the race and physically just stand out. I remember in the Bluegrass, him and Sierra Leone were really the ones who stuck out to me against the whole group. They were just kind of breathing a different air. So I think I like just a touch a little bit more, just with the speed that he has. I think he's got a little more tactical speed than Sierra Leone. So I like him. And of course, I like Just Steel. I like Keith's horse. That horse is tenacious, and I wouldn't even like him if Keith wasn't on him, honestly. The horse is just tenacious. He's bred for the distance. He dances every dance. You have to excuse the effort to back in the Rebel. He just got caught so wide in the first turn and the second turn and was just kind of arguing with Ramon Vasquez a little bit, but I think Keith kind of figured him out well. They seem to really get along, and I expect a big effort from him.
I love it. Now, Sierra Leone drew the two position. What fill us in on what it means. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to draw? And like, what's the advantage of having an inside or an outside position?
Well, I think for Sierra Leone, the inside post doesn't really bother because the Derby, okay, people are like, oh, if there's going to be pace, there's always pace. It's the Kentucky freaking Derby. The gates open. Those riders see blood and they fly out of there. So the whole field, I think, is going to be stretched out versus clustered together. I think Sierra Leone's going to be able to just kind of sit back, stay close to the rail, save ground, and, you know, come with his run at the end. I think when he won the Bluegrass, he closed on what was arguably the most speed biased track we had seen all meet at Keeneland. So I think Sierra Leone has a great chance from the inside post. I prefer him inside versus outside. You know, post positions, it really just depends on the horse's door knock. I don't like the inside post for him because he has to be forward and he's going to have to go, but I don't think he's anywhere near the fastest horse of this race. I think Just a Touch has far more speed. A lot of the outside horses have far more speed, so they're going to be jumping and running and gassing it.
Most exciting 2 minutes in sports. We'll be watching Saturday. Andy Biancone will be out there all week. Sounds like tons of fun. Appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us today. You want to let folks know where they can see you this week with your FanDuel TV coverage.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'll be in the paddock every single day. Tune into FanDuel to get paddock picks and paddock analysis and my mediocre interviews. We're here for the paddock picks.
I love the excitement. The excitement's there. I can hear it. And have a great day at the Derby. We'll be watching on Saturday. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. There she goes. Andy Biancone, FanDuel TV. We're back with more right after this. You're listening to MP on the mic. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. That was good. Good Kentucky Derby interview right there. 1046. It's MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Happy Derby week to you. We hadn't acknowledged it yet this week, so it's good to get that on the board. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Andy for joining us. That's a different side of the Derby, right? Like the horses side?
Yeah.
Because you think about the parties and the hats and everything.
Hats were my first thought.
The people who own the Derby, Churchill Downs, now own Colonial Downs out in New Kent. So they stage the races here in Virginia, too, now. And so I got to know them a little bit when they bought Colonial Downs, and, you know, they were sharing their plans, and they've cranked up the racing out there. And that summer season will start soon. I'm sure we'll have Colonial Downs folks on the show to talk about that. But the first time I went over and met the guy, like the CEO of Churchill Downs, so he's got his like press assistant.
Okay.
She is, and we're making conversation like, hey, do you go to the Kentucky Derby? She's like, oh my gosh, do I go to the Kentucky Derby? Do you wear the hat? She's like, yes. Come to find out, she has a custom hat maker who makes her
wow.
hat for the Derby every year. And they get together 6-7 months before the Derby
uh-huh.
and sketch it out.
Dang.
And then
plan ahead.
Custom make that. And so she goes to the high society events
yeah.
at the Derby. But it's not just, I went on eBay, I found a hat I like.
No.
There is a custom hat maker who makes her hats for Derby Week.
You know, I recently met a hat maker who makes Kentucky Derby hats.
Stop it. Derby hats, too?
Not in, like, she's been to the Derby with
okay.
her hats.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah.
I knew the hat story. I didn't.
Uh-huh.
It all roads lead back to the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
Which will be Saturday afternoon. And maybe, if we're really lucky, Knicks Sixers Game 7 right after the Kentucky Derby.
Quick that, one, too.
I don't want to be greedy. But I would enjoy that a lot. That would be a good little 1-2 in the sports world there. Mm-hmm. People also reacting to our segment at 10:15. You can grab it on the Odyssey app, of course, where I shared that Dave & Buster's is now allowing people to gamble on the arcade game, Skee-Ball Papa. You can bet your friend $5 on a round of Papa Shot. George Templeton, we always love hearing from George, says, which Dave & Buster's games would y'all host? Would y'all hustle other people at Michael P and RVA? That's my Twitter handle. Obviously, would hustle people at Papa Shot. What would Hazel, Awad, and Stubb hustle people at? So I actually have to inform George here
mm-hmm.
that he is incorrect. That I am actually terrible at basketball.
Oh,
So I'm 6'0" tall.
Okay.
That's my height. It's a funny height because if you're 5'11", you're also 6 feet tall.
And 5'10".
And 5'10". And
5'9".
I know some 5'9 people who are working the angles on the six.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very popular height.
It is.
So I all of which
especially on Tinder and Hinge.
Right. All of which is to say, one, I'm glad I didn't date in the app era, and two, I am 6'0" tall. Should I be saying 6'1" to like, does everybody just get to add one in this new world? I don't know what the rules are. But I was 6 feet tall in middle school as well,
oh, okay.
which was more notable at the time. And so lots of people, you got to be on the basketball team, mm-hmm. try out for the basketball. I don't want to play on the basketball. I did not play on the basketball. I was a baseball guy. I did not play on the basketball team in middle school or high school. Went to college, University of Kansas, a big basketball school. Don't have to tell you that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
At the school newspaper, we had an intramural basketball team.
Oh.
They competed, you know, in the intramural league.
Okay.
It was like your kickball thing, but with basketball.
Uh-huh.
And so I was the sports editor of the University of Daily Kansan, which had an intramural basketball team.
You've got to be on that team.
There were expectations, and
yeah.
I said, actually, I don't play basketball.
No.
Nobody would take that for an answer.
Okay.
Haha, you're on the team. Let's go.
Right.
Sure. Whatever. I'll join the team. So, intramural basketball, and we played a few games. And look, like, you know, I'm running around. I'm passing it to people. I'm not even, you know, I'm not attempting to be the hero here. I'm just getting a good run in. Somebody gets tired, I'll sub in or whatever. So, one game, we're all down there, and somebody misses a shot really, like, off the rim really long, and so the rebound goes long. So I go chase it down, and all of a sudden, I'm on a fast break. It's me and the basket. No defenders between, and I've got enough steps
oh, man.
On my defender. He has quit chasing me. He's,
oh.
he's just walking down. He's conceded. You're about to get a layup. I'll come get the ball. We'll start running this the other way. Because it's intramural basketball. Like, nobody's trying to be a hero, do the LeBron block off the glass.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's trying
They're
for that.
They're letting you go.
No. But you know, this is my layup. This is my moment.
Right.
Uncontested. So I run down there and I miss the layup. But there's no battle for the rebound because nobody joined me. It's just me. So I grab the ball and put it back up, but I missed the second
have
attempt as well. At which point I grabbed the ball again,
okay, let's
attempted
go.
Again, and the third one fell for 2 points. It was a basket.
Third time's a charm.
I called timeout, removed myself from the game, and that was the end of my intramural basketball
and
career.
And never returned.
Now, I'll play pop a shot at Dave and Buster's, but I'm mid-level.
I'm not
I'm not putting $5 on Papa Shot. All of which is to say, Ski Ball, let's go. we are throwing down a Ski Ball. Because all the suckers are trying for the little hole that's worth 100 points. I'm just going to put it in the 50 spot every time and blow past you. That's 50-50.
You're giving away your strategy here.
I'll give away the strategy. You can't do it.
You can't hit the 100s.
You can't hit the 50. Yeah, that's what I got on you, right?
Okay.
This is my version of AWOD running his mouth that he was going to get 180 at VCU Bowling Challenge. Then you know, Robbie Robinson shows up. Let's see you play Ski Ball, MP. Get all shaky, right? I don't know. Maybe that's what would happen.
Nobody needs to be serious about this. Nobody needs to know.
AWOD's actually got... he is the Dave and Buster's king. When he worked for the Junkies, they interviewed a guy who like had hacked Dave and Buster's. He could go get like 100 tickets at every game every time.
Wow.
And he went to Dave and Buster's with the guy to do a segment for the Junkies.
And he learned the way?
I think so.
Wow.
Now I don't know if he does it regularly or not, or even if he wants me sharing that on the radio or not.
It's out now.
He might be banned for life from Dave and Buster's. If you end up in a $5 contest with AWOD at Dave and Buster's, just know that it may be
skewed.
The court may be tilted in his favor. We got another hour of MP on the mic coming up. I also wanted to mention, the lineup came out yesterday for the Iron Blossom Music Festival. Did you go to the Iron Blossom Music Festival last year?
And die of heat stroke? No. No. Didn't they all get trapped in there for hours with no water?
The people who made it out last year are presumably the target market for this year's Iron Blossom.
Yeah, good for them.
That brings me to a broader point about music festivals, though.
Yeah.
Because this lineup was made for me. Mount Joy will be there, Nathaniel Radcliffe and the Night Sweats, the Turnpike Troubadours. You know, as with all these things, like, the text gets smaller, and I've heard of fewer and fewer of the people, but there's a good 20 artists on the bill here, going all the way. I'll read you the tiny print. We've got Jack Wharf and the Tobacco Flats, Dog Park, Victoria Canal, Say Shishi, River Wireless. I've never heard of any of them, but if they're on that bill, I'm probably going to enjoy them.
They sound
probably
Richmond.
Everything's a music festival now.
Yes.
What happened to concerts? I like concerts. I'd rather see all those acts individually at the Broadberry than go stand out in the sun for 8 hours at a festival. Also, it's $179.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I'm... It's...
Several days, though, right?
2 days.
Okay.
Great lineup. I'm not dogging on... And I'm glad Richmond has one of these, right? Because every town that's anybody has a music festival now.
Yep.
And this is a good one for Richmond. It's over there at the what used to be the Redskins Training Center. It listed as the Training Center on Lee. Oh. That's probably as close as we're going to get these days.
Yep.
Commanders are gone. Stoney says he's going to turn it into a park. Stoney will be gone in November.
Lee will be gone someday.
L-E-I-J-H.
Oh,
no, L-E-I-G-H.
All right,
Lee Street.
I take it back.
Yeah, not
Robert E. Lee. I was like, wait a minute.
Not Robert E. Lee. Maybe they can name it after Lee's Fried Chicken. That's something we can all get.
Okay, yeah.
There we go. Good lineup, though. We'll be out there. At one point, the Ocean City one is really good this year, too. Mm-hmm. All the artists are at music festivals. I want more concerts. But I like getting good music in Richmond. Hooray for Richmond. Hour number two, live and local, right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Mike Savetis of Front Page Bets breaks down this week's lines and action in college and pro football.
Mike, it's Kentucky Derby week. Happy Derby week. Happy NBA, NHL playoffs. We got a lot to pick from today.
Not going on, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Have you ever done a derby? That's a bucket lister, right?
No, have not done a derby, but I know obviously a lot of folks who have. I have been to Churchill Downs. Well, actually won some money there, so so I'm up. But never actually been there to cover the actual Kentucky Derby. But man, what a bucket list! Like you're right, it's crazy. But you know, our good friend James Wallace, former photo editor and senior editor at the RTD,
yep,
he's covered multiple Kentucky Derbies especially when he was in Louisville and a super shooter for USA Today and Gannett. And so I've heard a lot of stories. I've lived vicariously through James a little bit.
Oh, no question. If you went to the Derby, would you be in the infield or like up in the suites?
Oh, I'd be in the infield. Absolutely. Like I don't care who. I mean, I care who wins on my bet, but like I don't care about all the pageantry. I want to be with the folks in the middle. You know what I mean? That's where it all goes down.
He's Mike Svetitz. He's up all time at Churchill Downs. I am Michael Phillips. I am down all time at Colonial Downs. two appearances took two L's. Nita,
hey,
I got to take Derby Bill with me next time.
There you go. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Get Derby Bill in there and just get on a heater.
Exactly. We had some series extended last night in an unexpected way. The 76ers, who you expect to roll over, found their pulse, beat the Knicks. And then in hockey, you had the Maple Leafs, who have their traditional first-round bow out. They got an overtime goal, beat the Bruins. So we got ourselves a little weekend of action coming up here.
Yeah, and it's funny because, the playoffs, it's not necessarily going how we thought it would. And again, with the Maple Leafs, how many times have they been picked to win it in the last couple of years, or at least do well, and then, all of a sudden, kind of like the Bruins, a few years ago or last year, what it was, best record in hockey or whatever, and can't win past the first round. So you've got some interesting series. Obviously, my Lightning got taken care of pretty early. So we won't watch hockey for a little bit after we walked that one off.
Panthers had owed him that one for a while, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
When the Capitals lose, there's always like, you got like the dark period, right? I can't watch for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, whatever. But then you're always back by the cup, as long as your team's not a conference finalist loser. So we'll get back. I'm not worried about it.
Absolutely.
I love it. Mike Svetitz joins us from Front Page Bets. We had the NFL draft. It's in the books. Any standouts for you? And I think all eyes now on the NFL win-loss records coming out.
Yeah, I think that's the next step is how did the draft really help? It really, it helped a lot of teams, obviously, but when it comes terms to futures betting and those kind of things, other than the win loss record, it really didn't really move the needle on the favorites to win the Super Bowl and to get back in there for Super Bowl 59 this year. Obviously the 49ers, the Chiefs are your top two from each conference. But I think it went as, obviously the big news, and I'm sure you've talked about it for the last, couple of days since the first round Thursday night, but, Michael Penix Jr. going that high to the Falcons is interesting. And I love the meme of Arthur Blank talking to the GM and, who knows what they were really talking about, but the fact that it looked like he was trying to explain the pick to a guy that wasn't amused by it. But we'll see how that all pans out. And, Kirk Cousins, again, Can this guy catch a break, or is it kind of just his fate that he's going to go places and it's just going to be controversy swirling everywhere?
We can't laugh at this pick enough because he leaves Washington because obviously he never felt the love there. That was RG3's town. He got the franchise tag twice. They wouldn't give him a long term deal. He goes to Minnesota for all the money. Now in Minnesota, it's I'd like a long term deal. We'll give you a year, 2 years. I need some love. I'm going to Atlanta to get my love. 4 years, $180 million. They have to know by this point. The book's out, Mike. This guy operates on respect and love. And the first draft, the first thing you do is take another quarterback. I can't believe it.
In the first round, right? It's not like a third round pick.
And number eight.
This guy's a franchise guy. It could be. And Cousins has got a lot, how much, I know he's got a lot to prove in some respects, but how much more, you talk about a guy who I think has been disrespected a lot in what he's done. Yeah. Does he turn the ball over? Can he win the big game? All those things. But last year, if he doesn't get injured last year, if he doesn't tear his Achilles, he might have led that team to an unprecedented season and I believe he was in the top two or three in most categories when he got hurt offensively as a quarterback. So I feel bad for the guy, kind of, but then at the same time, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, right? It's just, you just can this guy catch a break? Can he get any respect? And obviously the only way he'll ever get it is if he wins a ring.
Kirk Cousins has won more fantasy titles for people,
no question,
than anybody playing in the game today. The numbers are always no, that's your guy in fantasy. He's there. I also love the Falcons GM, who, whatever he said to Arthur Blank, then he does his press conference. He said, if Penix has to sit for 4 or 5 years before he plays, that's a great problem for us to have. I don't know if you ran that by Michael Penix.
I don't think, is it really a great problem to have if a guy you drafted in the first round doesn't see the field for 5 years? And remember, Penix is injury prone. He's already old. Like, he'll be 37 or whatever it is.
This is like, figure out what the good teams are doing and do more of it. Like, what do the Green Bay Packers do? Well, they draft a quarterback, and then they let him sit for a year or two, and then they play him. Great. What if we did that, but he sits for 5 years instead?
Yeah.
That would be three times better, obviously.
It's just so funny, too, because the Falcons, like, it's like, you know, last year with Arthur Smith, their head coach, where it was like, why don't you give the ball to Bijan Robinson more? No, they'll expect that. Let's give the ball to a tight end.
Why?
Cordell Patterson can run better than Bijan Robinson. They'll never see it coming.
That was for people playing the overs and the unders. That was the ultimate dagger there. It just he's there. He's great. Like, he's not even having a rough season. Every time he touches the ball, it's magic. Like, well,
right,
we got to ration this guy. There's only a little.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing that, like, you know, I had him on my fantasy league, and I couldn't believe. I mean, every, like you said, every time he touched the ball, something it was like Barry Sanders, you know. 2.0, and then, oh no, we're only going to give him the ball three times a game. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Mike Svetitz joins us. We had Parney on. He was in Detroit for the NFL draft.
Yeah, how'd that go?
He made it back. By the way, I went to the Squirrels game Saturday night. No hitter through a perfect game through seven.
Crazy.
No hitter into the eighth. I'm getting excited. I text my guy Parney. Give me updates. Says, where are you? I flew back to the beach house. And nice to be semi-retired. That's the takeaway there.
I saw Parney yesterday. I was on my way to the gym, and he's out walking. We live kind of near each other, and you know, we're yelling at each other through the window. And I did lay eyes on him. He is back. That's true. He's back. I don't know. He was walking with a little bit of a limp, though, so I don't know what happened to him in Detroit.
What happens at the draft stays at the draft.
When
you're in the Parney circle, absolutely. I have a little bit of trivia to drop on you that you'll appreciate. Nobody will appreciate this, so I'd like to waste everybody's airtime sharing this. I was at a function of retired RTD people the other day. They told me
was it RAG?
Yeah. So they told me that this radio station that we're on, WRNL, is named because it was started by the Richmond News Leader. It was their radio station for a long time.
I know we had a radio station. We have a radio station in the basement of the 300 East Franklin building.
Yeah,
but I did not know we started our own radio station.
That was it. That was this station.
Wow.
That now has been commandeered to allow me to yap about Dave and Buster's for two hours a day.
You and AWOD, full circle moment right now.
I mean, when you think about the great history of the News Leader and the awards and the great journalism, and now it's me and AWOD back to back. A lot of people rolling over in a lot of graves right now, Mike. It's Mike Svetitz, it's frontpagebets.com. Always appreciate having you on. What do you want to tell us about what you got cooking this week?
Well, I mean, obviously the Kentucky Derby, starting off first Triple Crown race of 2014. We're taking it back. But I'm really excited about the Derby. We've got a lot of great content on that. And it's interesting, you know, Fierceness is the favorite to win, but he's in the 17th post. He's posted it in 17 in this position. No Derby winner has ever won from 17. So this is going to be interesting to see if he can, or will we have like a rich strike situation in 80-1, like long shot to win it. So it'll be interesting there on the first Saturday in May in Kentucky. I can't wait to watch that. Yeah. And then we've got, you know, a lot going on. Like you mentioned, playoffs, NBA, NHL. We've also got, you know, can't forget our NASCAR. And I do want to say on the radio, Michael, I was wrong. You were right last week. The Monster Mile is Dover. I said it wasn't. you were right, I was wrong. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I always, you know, got to own up to my mistakes here.
We have clipped the audio of that. We will be playing that in perpetuity. So thank you. Thank you, Mike. If you're going to be right about NASCAR, be right once and make sure it happens on the air. That's my,
yeah,
my broken clock's right twice a day.
That's right.
I love it. Well, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for stopping by. Hopefully I'll see you at the Diamond soon.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Off he goes. Mike Svetitz, frontpagebets.com. Why don't we give away a Wawa gift bag before we wrap up this segment? Seems like the right thing to do. 833-804-0910. It's Wawa's 60th anniversary. We're celebrating it all week. You get a t-shirt. You get a hat. You get two Wawa retro tumbler cup things. It's a cup, but it's nicer than a cup. It's in the middle. It's between cup and like fancy cup. It's somewhere in that ballpark. It celebrates Wawa's 60th birthday. If you're a Wawa fan, you want to have this. If you're not a Wawa fan, it's still cool. The hat is really cool. I've been wearing the hat around. I got my hands on one of the early boxes. Back with more after this. 910 The Fan, Net 105.1 FM. Bad news. We're out of Wawa gift baskets today. Good news, we got two more days left this week. We're not out of Wawa gift baskets overall. We're going to give away two of them every single day for the rest of this week to celebrate Wawa's 60th anniversary. Stay tuned to MP on the Mic. We love having you on board. And if you missed any part of today's show, you know where to get it. It's the free Odyssey app. Now, I get, as most people do, I get all my NBA playoff news from Magic Johnson's Twitter feed, the number one source of sports news and information. I love the Magic Johnson Twitter feed. Everything's an exclamation point. Everything's a wow. Magic Johnson weighs in on the NBA playoffs. NBA fans, I'm still in disbelief that LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant are all out of the playoffs. That's your Magic Johnson NBA playoffs. That's it. That's all there. That's the Magic Johnson Twitter feed. That's actually one of the more coherent Magic Johnson. Normally, it's a stating of a piece of information with an exclamation point. Also says the Lakers weren't tough enough to handle. We got LeBron questions as well. Let's dive into last night's action. First, though, the Milwaukee Bucks taking care of business, coming back from the dead.
Final horn sounds, and rumors of the Bucks' demise have been overstated. 115-92, the Bucks are alive and kicking.
Yeah, if they can get past Indiana, they're looking dangerous there. That's our guy Dave Kane, by the way. Dave Kane, voice of UVA for a long time, left to become the voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, now calling a little bit of championship caliber basketball out there in Milwaukee. So good news for Dave Kane, landing in a great spot after his time at UVA and Kansas Jayhawk. We throw that in when we got him. Tomorrow night's gonna be a good night of basketball because you got Bucks Pacers. Series is 3-2 for the Pacers. They'll get the chance to close it out at home. That'll be fascinating. And then of course Knicks Sixers, the late night game. I am hoping for the game 7 right after the Kentucky Derby, right? That would be a good day of sports. If you can get Knicks Sixers to 7, Joel Embiid apparently fired up because the New York people said mean things about him. I don't know if he's familiar with how New York works. That was a wild one to me. Mad Dog's rant on that yesterday was good. Guy calls in and he's that was all, you know, Knicks fans in Philly, and he went off on just this big old rant about it. Of all the places for people to get worked up, Philadelphia, like, that's just a great rivalry. Let's let these guys go at it for 7, see what happens after that. Other side of the ledger, Celtics up 3-1 on the Heat, Cavaliers up 3-2 on the Magic. I got to think that's the Celtics pod to win down there. But it's the West where it's almost all in the books here. Clippers and Mavs play late tonight. They're 2-2. Everybody else is in the barn. Thunder took care of the Pelicans 4-0. But the Lakers and the Suns, a combined one win between them. It was LeBron's. I'm fascinated by the LeBron situation, and because he's still playing at a really high level, especially when it matters. Sometimes with the stars, it's all right. Like, you know, how are we gonna spotlight him or make him a role player? Watching him, he's still the guy, though. Here's Anthony Davis on the question everybody's asking, which is, what's LeBron do from here?
You know, if he does, obviously our goal is to come back and you know, be a championship contender. stay healthy and give Laker Nation what they deserve.
They were the 7 seed, but I don't think you blow it up, right? That was the Sports Minute yesterday. LeBron's got to get out of there if he wants to win a championship. One, I don't think LeBron needs to win another championship. But two, I think he could win one in L.A. Maybe I'm crazy for thinking that. My guy Awad, you know, who I go to for all my NBA facts and figures, says that if they add another player, they could be a good team. And I agree with that, having watched a little bit of that.
I mean, they had the halftime lead on the Nuggets every single game in this series. Their coaching is just terrible. I mean, who the hell is Darvin Ham? He wasn't even a good player. It's embarrassing that he's coaching the Lakers, right? You look at Phil Jackson, like, Darvin Ham, really?
It doesn't feel like a throw-in-the-towel situation. Like, sometimes there are hopeless situations. We'll get to that in a second with the Maple Leafs. But this is not a throw-in-the-towel situation. Here's LeBron on what he's going to do next.
I just want to get on to the family, honestly. Start looking at the schedule, obviously. I got, my son, one of my boys is just trying to decide if he's going to, enter the draft or go back to school. I got another kid that's playing AU ball right now. My daughter's playing volleyball, and my wife is doing so many great things, so it's about family right now. And then in a couple months, I got to go to Vegas for training camp.
Got to watch some Duquesne basketball. Get Bronny to Duquesne. That's where it's at. He's got options. I think his best move is to stay put, if I were LeBron. And because if you go chasing a ring, the chances are way more likely it doesn't work out than it does work out. And then you're in a city you don't want to be in, slumming it for a team you don't want to be slumming it for. At least when you're playing for the Lakers, you're the show, right? There's all the Lakers stars through the years. You're part of that legacy, even if you're not winning titles. But if you pull the let's go to, wherever and make a super team, all of a sudden you're in Milwaukee, one injury derails you, and you're playing in Milwaukee, and you're a little salty about it every night. You're in Phoenix, and you're salty about it. Matt Ishbia, the new Suns owner, that was a big heaping dose of karma to watch that. He's your new worst owner in the NBA, I think. Trading everything for Kevin Durant, the Bradley Beal deal. He's basically out of draft picks for the next, 6 years. Has invested so much in that team, swept 4-0 by the Timberwolves. That's a situation where there's nothing you do to move forward. Lakers aren't in an untenable situation. They've got LeBron. They've got AD. They've got the core. They can win. They need to add a player or two. They need to blow up future salary caps. That's how you win in the NBA these days. But they can do it. I don't know where the Suns go from here. I don't think there's any optimism they can turn that around. A little bit of a Carolina Panthers situation there, right? Bad owner comes in with a lot of money, decides he knows better than everybody else. Not going to work like that. NHL last night got another Game 5 outcome where we extend a series. This one courtesy of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Tavares down the right wing, trying to barge to the front of the goal. He does! They score! They score! The Leafs have won the game! Nice jumping it in as Tavares one-handed in front. The Leafs are coming home, and they've won Game 5 by a score of 2-1. Holy Mackinac, what a play!
Holy Mackinac! That's what I say during big sporting events. We lost that in the Canadian translation. Holy Mackinac, whatever that is. Toronto Maple Leafs staying alive against Boston. This is a defining series for them. They spent 8 years building this team. They've got stars. They've got a payroll. They can't get past the Bruins. They can't get into the championship round. They're down 3-1. And you got to ask yourself the big questions then, right? Because you say, did we build a team that's not good enough? But there they come storming back. It's 3-2 going home. Chance to force a game 7 in the NHL. No series is over until it's over. The winner of that gets Florida, who finally gave it to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Florida being good is not good for hockey overall. Because one, nobody cares down there either. They play in a shopping mall. That's not an exaggeration. The team plays in a shopping mall in Fort Lauderdale. At least the Heat... I remember I went to a Heat game when LeBron was on the Heat because that was the thing to do. I just remember they're beating up on some other team. It's downtown. There's great buzz. There's all the bars around it. Nobody gets into the arena until the second quarter. Then everybody leaves early to go back to the bars. is a very Miami scene. I just remember we're driving back after the game to our hotel, and we're listening to the sports talk post game. Like, they had sleptwalked through the whole game, but then in the third quarter, like, LeBron scored 40, and they, like, blew it. They won by a bunch because they played for one quarter, and the sports talk guys, they can't get away with this forever. You know, you can't do this in the playoffs. You can't only show up for one quarter a night. It's like, I think you're missing the point of what this is. That's what they're going to be until they have to be something else. But that fit the market as well. Just drop by, watch LeBron dominate for a few minutes, get back to the bars. It's not hockey. That's not the Panthers' world. Knights and the Stars knotted up at 2 apiece. The Stars, the 1 seed. The Knights, the 8 seed, who may or may not have manipulated the salary cap and hidden all their star players on injured reserve and then popped them back up just in time for the playoffs. They're the bad guys here. Vancouver and Nashville. Vancouver's up 3-2. Edmonton up 3-1. Steve Wino was telling the AP hockey guy, and we had him on. If Edmonton could somehow get to the big rounds, the cup rounds, the conference final rounds, you're going to see how good Connor McDavid is. He called him the best player we'll see in our lifetimes. And he said that in a building that Alex Ovechkin was playing in, like, while we were speaking. And he is that good. The highlights are that great. He stuck out in Edmonton, and so you don't get to see a lot of him, but it looks like they're going to get past the Kings. I'm excited to watch some Edmonton hockey as it goes. Now, your Eastern Conference series, Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes, that's going to be some good hockey, too. Hurricanes did what they needed to do, wrapped it up last night over the Islanders, because they got to get rested up to take on the Rangers. I think they're better at 5-on-5, but the Rangers look sharp, and they're going to be coming off a lot of rest. There. We'll keep an eye on all that as we roll along. We got another half hour of MP on the mic with you. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. What's up, Richard Michael Phillips here. Program's MP on the mic. We're with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over then. Grant and Danny drive you home on The Fan, of course, Flying Squirrels baseball. Tonight, we'll get to the Squirrels update eventually. Two guests today. Andy Biancone, she's at the Kentucky Derby. So hopefully we'll tell us what's going on at the Kentucky Derby, because I'm going to plead ignorance on that one. But she's got a cool job at the Kentucky Derby. She rides a horse and interviews the other people riding horses. That's a good gig right there. We'll talk to her. Mike Svetitz joins at 11, as he does on Wednesdays. We got a lot to get to. VCU's got a kid out of the portal. But what struck me this morning, we're on the Odyssey app. It's worldwide. It's free. It's got the rewind button. You know all this by now. What you also know is we're not the only Odyssey station. Our sister station, 1140 WRVA, which airs a lot of, they have UVA sports, NASCAR, they get a lot of this stuff. When we're busy, when there's more than one sport going on, they handle it. But they talk politics. John Reed's in the mornings. He is off this week because, I didn't know this, it's Governor's Week. The former governors of Virginia all take a day hosting the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I didn't know, because I pull in this morning, and the car next to me, it's a nice car, the license plate number is 4.
Nothing else.
That's it. That's the whole license plate. And that's a thing in Virginia.
Okay.
If you're the higher the number on your license plate, the more important you are. So, like, number one,
okay,
is, so there's a little confusion here, because I looked this up online. It says that number one is Mark Warner, senior senator, but I'm also seeing that number one is the governor's car, governor's car, Glenn Youngkin. So there might be two number ones out there. Not sure about that. We have a governor one and a Senate one. Maybe we have a House one as well.
Okay.
Speaker of the House kind of situation. But single-digit license plate,
important.
That means you're important.
Oh, okay.
Double-digit license plate, I'd say still important. We've got people, like, there are people in my neighborhood who have, like, triple-digit license plates.
Ooh.
Sure. Yeah, you're working towards it. But then there's also, like, the four-digit license plates.
Right.
What are we doing there?
That's a lot of people you got to get through.
Yeah. You're advertising how unimportant you are if you're taking the four digit.
Nobody needs to know.
Yeah. And so Hazel did the follow-up on this.
Right, because I looked it up, and the first 5,000 important people have to be approved by the government.
Yeah, you can't just fill out a form and say, I want number 8.
Yeah, but if you
somebody's
want number,
got number 8.
5,001, You do not have to get approved.
That's the first number that you can just sign up for.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we
all
should.
All the way up to 9,999.
I mean, theoretically, you go all the way up as high as you want, right? I mean,
you're not very important, Pastor.
Six digits on a license plate, right?
There's they actually six extend spots. The license plate so you can fit more numbers in there.
Sir, you're so unimportant, we've added a seventh digit just for you. I want 999,999.
Uh-huh.
That would be the least important person in the entire state of Virginia.
There's no more numbers.
This beautiful combo. You can't be one-upped.
Yeah.
You can't be one-upped at 999,999. I want the low number because I bet those people don't get pulled over a lot. When they mail out the tickets, I don't think they mail them out to number three. That's not...
Is that one digit? Scratch that off.
Yeah, don't worry about them. They're on important business.
They're going somewhere.
It's Governor's Week. They're going over to Odyssey to host a radio program.
11:40.
All right. We'll be hosting a radio program. We'll be giving away two more Wawa gift baskets. They've been flying out the door like hotcakes all week. We'll give you two more chances during today's program. Start at JMU. JMU Athletic Director Matt Roan was officially introduced yesterday, taking over for Jeff Bourne. That is a wild sea change there at JMU because they've had one athletic director for the last 2.5 decades. Here is Matt Roan being introduced as the new JMU athletic director.
I was watching a live stream of Bridgeforce Stadium being taken down and starting to come back up. And I thought, man, that place is special. Tremendous. I saw it from a distance. I heard about it again from my father. My dad drove a truck for a living, and he would drive from Roanoke, Virginia to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 5 nights a week. So he would certainly miss a lot of games, but he would tell me, hey, the stadium was lit up. That was beautiful. That's a special place.
There you go. Now he's in charge. He said he's not going to make a lot of changes. He can't make a lot of changes because Jeff Bourne did a lot of the work on the way out, had to hire a football coach and a men's basketball coach in his last year at JMU to sustain the success. I think that's a good job because as JMU grows in popularity, I think the fundraising will grow there too. And I think as they settle into their Division I status, they're going to make the college football playoff in this new format at some point. Although they were left out. I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago, a group got together and David Blitzer, who is a... I don't think he has a share of the Commanders, but he owns all the other teams with Josh Harris. He's leading this brain trust that's coming up with the future of college athletics, right? This is not authorized or anything, but they're putting together this thing. They drew up new conferences for everybody. 7 conferences of 10 teams each, and then an 8th conference for all the lesser teams to promote and relegate out of. And what they invented was college sports 30 years ago. So I love that we've broken this to the point where they all get in a room, like, what should we do? Like, come up with a great idea. Wow, this is a great idea. People would love this. It's just literally what we had before they broke it. Hey, old Coke didn't sell until new Coke came around. Sometimes you got to break it so you can sell the classic.
Very true.
The greed's what always gets them, right? And they decided that the main Power 5 teams couldn't be relegated. Only the lesser teams could be relegated, right? It's the greed that gets them. If everybody could be promoted and relegated, you might be onto something. And JMU would be onto something. They have a chance to climb the ladder. They'll make sure that doesn't happen. But I do hats off to JMU. Looks like the right guy for the job. Matt Roan is your new athletic director. Has experience as an athletic director two other places, including Eastern Kentucky most recently. So comes into the job with experience, with stability at both coaching slots right now. And his job is to keep that rolling. I would have said last year, quarterback uncertainty, Dukes probably aren't going to be as good as they were the year before. And then what do you know? First bowl game appearance in school history, College Game Day comes back. We'll see what this year brings. Coaching turnover, new guys, but also a lot of optimism around Dylan Morris. You're hearing he's the real deal. Quarterback out of Washington who backed up Michael Penix the last few years. Going to get his chance to be a starter in the college football world. And they are finally fully eligible this year to do all the things, to make the playoff, to be in a bowl game without having to scrap and beg for it. So a big year for JMU football coming. VCU basketball news yesterday as well. Norfolk State's Jamari Thomas, we told you he visited. He's the MEAC Player of the Year. He is in at VCU. So VCU, as they assemble their team now, it appears has their backcourt for next year. You've got Jamari Thomas, and this is a good pickup. MEAC Player of the Year at Norfolk State. Love Norfolk State, their program, perennial contender. You see them in the tournament every few years, always in the mix at the MEAC, always there at the scope playing for it at the end of the year. Jamari Thomas was a big part of that. He'll jump right in. Now, this illuminates why Jason Nelson headed for the exits, right? Because in a heads up, now, what's the economics thing that, you know, that where if you have something, you think it's worth more than if you don't have it? Like, as soon as you get something, you think it's more valuable than you did, which is why people don't buy, sell, trade things more often, because they think what they have is worth more than it is. I mean, Commanders fans know that, right? Like, oh, you can't trade Ryan Kerrigan. He's the best. Like, and the rest of the league's like, we don't want to trade for your guys. We don't want your guys.
Go ahead and keep them.
You can keep them. In a heads up, though, I would rather have Jamari Thomas than Jason Nelson. No disrespect to Jason Nelson. I hope he has a great career somewhere. I hope he settles in wherever he gets to, finds his role. Didn't happen at UR, didn't happen at VCU. It's a tricky world out there in college basketball. Now, that's normalized now. Three schools, 3 years. That's okay. Everybody's doing that. So there's no scarlet letter here on Jason Nelson. I'll root for his success wherever he ends up. But I'd rather have Jamari Thomas in the heads up, a guy who's done it night in, night out in a competitive league and played at a high level. I think he'll be a great addition to this team. So Jamari Thomas joined Zeb Jackson. He's coming back. Got a little Zeb Jackson. Joe Bamisil will be back. I think that's your X factor here, is can he build consistency into his game? Can he become a scoring threat in more ways than just shooting the three? When we saw him drive to the rim, that's when he was at his best last year. Not just shooting threes, but developing that full game, making people respect him, you know, in the paint, in around the perimeter, everywhere he had the ball. Can he build that into his game? He four schools, 4 years for him. This will be Bam's second year at VCU, right? So you hope that'll pay dividends for him. I like the backcourt on paper. It is a long time till they tip the ball. A long time. A lot can happen between now and then. But if you can get those three into the season healthy, Zeb's experience, I think Thomas will be an instant impact player out of Norfolk State. Joe Bamisil. Now, we heard they got Jack Clark from Clemson, 6'8". He provides a little bit of the height inside. Still got some work to do. Got to find some big men. Everybody's looking for big men. Now, your other big college basketball news is that today is the last day to enter the portal to declare you want to switch to another school. It is not the last day to commit to a new school. It's just the last day to declare that you want to.
Okay.
So if you're on the team at midnight tonight, you're on the team.
Oh.
And you're making it to the roster. You're making it to opening day. Now,
it's gonna be a little drama today, then, huh?
The whole thing's the Wild West. I don't love a scenario where essentially, if they sign a guy who's gonna replace you tomorrow, you can't do squat about it. It feels like it should be open in both directions when it's open.
Yeah.
Like if the coach is like, we found a guy who does the exact same thing you do but better. Feels like you should be able to say, like, well, I want out of here. I want to go somewhere else. Can't do that after today. Whole thing's the Wild West. As you know, they're striking down all these laws anyway. All that. Let's give away a Wawa gift basket right out of the gate here. Let's just do it. It's Wawa's 60th anniversary. We're celebrating here all week on MP on the Mic. We love Wawa. You love Wawa. It's not Hoagie Fest, but it's the next best thing. It's a free Wawa gift basket. So here's what it is. It's a t-shirt, a hat, and a couple retro tumblers, glasses. They're not made of glass, but they're cups.
Yeah,
but
keep your drink cool.
Cups undersells it. They're nicer than cups.
They are.
Whatever it is, that's what you do. So the number is 833-804-0910. Call in now, 833-804-0910. We'll hook you up. with a Wawa gift basket to celebrate their 60th anniversary. 833-804-0910. Off and running, it's the Wednesday edition of MP on the Mic. You will never guess where sports betting has extended to. I'll tell you after the break. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.